Okay, I want to thank everyone very much for coming, and I want to wish on behalf of all of us a very happy birthday to Seth. Yasher Koach. We should sing in honor of Seth Rabbi Nachman's song. Oz v'hadar lebusha pat Yitzchak liyoyim acharon. Oz v'hadar lebusha pat Yitzchak liyoyim acharon. Hey! La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-
la 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 Oz behatar lebusha batishak liyom acharon. Oz behatar lebusha batishak liyom acharon. Hey, la 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 la
We want to thank Seth and Emily for hosting, for feeding, and of course to thank Akiva and Brian for all the recruitment and getting this year together. So tonight's theme is to continue in Torah Daled of Rabbi Nachman and Likutei Moharan. As we learned last week, it's an unbelievable Torah. Rabbi Nachman, you know, his whole style is very freewheeling. One thing leads to the next. It's hard to see the connection always, and it opens itself up to lots of different ideas. What are all the connections? But Rabbi Nachman began by saying that if a person feels that everything that happens is for the best, the person feels that even the difficulties in life, even the struggles, the challenges, it's all absolutely gifts, it's all for the best, it's all good, then a person who's in this world is already feeling a little bit of the next world. He's already bringing some of the light of the world to come into this world. And Rabbi Nachman proves this from a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim. The Gemara tells us that the verse says, in that day, v'haya b'yom ahu, it'll be on that day, v'haya Hashem echad, u'shmo echad, God will be one, His name will be one. So the Gemara asks, what, is He not one now? I mean, He made the world. Only one God made the world. He's one. There's only one God. What does it mean? That day, His name will be one, and He will be one. So the Gemara says, nowadays in our world, if we undergo an experience that's a misfortune, that's difficulty, we recite a blessing, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed be God, Dayan HaEmet, the true judge. And if we have an experience that's an amazing, wonderful, joyous experience, then we say a new blessing, Shechiyanu V'Kiyimanu V'Kiyanu L'Zman HaZeh. Or if it affects multiple people, we say Atov HaMeitiv. So there are two blessings, but in the future world, there will only be one blessing. Every experience will get the blessing. Blessed are you, God, who's good and who makes it better. Hatov ametiv. That means in the future world, a person only sees things as being absolutely for the best. So if in this world, I feel that everything is absolutely for the best, that means in this world, I'm feeling a little bit of the future world. That was the first argument that Rabbi Nachman made. Then Rabbi Nachman went on, and Rabbi Nachman explained that the only way to get to this level of feeling that everything is absolutely for the best is by elevating the godly concept of royalty, of malchus, of kingship. Because kingship today has been taken over by the Gentiles. And they're in charge, unfortunately. And so we have to bring kingship back to God. And the way to bring kingship back to God, says Rabbi Nachman, this was the wild idea, is to confess in front of a Talmud Chacham. To go to a tzaddik, to go to a pious person, and to tell him, whatever's going on with me, whatever I've done, to say my vidui in front of him. And in doing so, I'm elevating the power of Malchus. So let's start at this point, 11 lines down. Ukeshiyeda kol zos. It's where there's a little letter dalet. Ukeshiyeda kol zos. And when a person knows all of this, nikra yediya shlema, then he has true knowledge, true das. We know that there's a concept of knowledge, of das. Rabbi Nachman says, real das, real knowledge is to understand that every misfortune and every challenge is really for the best. Ki ikra das, because the real das, hu achdu shel chasadim ugvuros, it's to combine love and judgment. We know that there is a whole tree, a whole diagram representing different godly attributes. So there is the emotion of chesed, of love, that's on the right-hand side, represented in the human being by the right arm, the more active arm. And then on the left-hand side, there's the emotion of gvura, of restraint, of judgment, of holding back, represented by the left arm. But above chesed and above gvura, in this diagram, there's a sphere called das. That means das is a place where chesed and gvura are united. So the real das, the real knowledge of God, is where both the chesed, the good experiences, and the unfortunate experiences are united. Because really, I believe it's all for the good. The Zen Nikra Das, that's the real knowledge. Hayinu shelo yachlok ben chesed ledin, not to distinguish between kindness and judgment. V'yivarech al kulam atova meitiv, and to bless for every experience with the best blessing. He's good and he does good. That's called God's name being one. As our sages taught, in the future there will be an absolute unity, namely, everything will be experienced as good and better. That's Hashem Echad, God being one, Ushmo and his name, also one. In other words, his name is Elohim, is called Elohim. He's the Malchus, he's the king. Moshe Kasav Ayas, David Shame. David made a name. Now, everything's going to be Echad, everything will be one. What is one? Echad in Gematria equals Ahava, love. In other words, Hashem, Shehu Rachamim, which is compassion. Hein Shmo, in God's name, which is Elohim, Bechinas Din, which is judgment. Kula tovascha, it's all for your good. Machmas ava, from the love, Shakurish Baruchu oevoscha, that God loves you. Kmoshakasav, as it says, Asher Yehav Hashem Yochiach, the ones he loves, God rebukes. Uksiv, and the verse says, Rak eschem yodati mikol mishpachos ha'adama, I only know you from all the families on earth. Al kein efkar aleichem avonoseichem, that's why I punish you for your misdeeds. So Rabbi Nachman is telling us, we have to remind ourselves that the Almighty loves us. You know, last week I mentioned there's a whole school of philosophy in Israel, psychology, in Israel called Psychologia Yehudit, Jewish psychology. So one of the people who's very involved in Psychologia Yehudit, his name is Rav Shmuel Tal. He has a yeshiva in Yad Binyamin. He used to be in Gush Katif. So he has a whole process of Psychologia Yehudit, Jewish psychology, where he says that we have to go back to the roots of whatever we're going through. And we have to look at what is the basic idea that's leading to the experiences I'm having. So I'm going through some experience and I'm frustrated and I'm upset. I have to go back to the roots. And the first root I need to put down is that Hashem loves me. And Hashem loves me, and whatever He does for me is absolutely for the good. All right, now let me start applying that foundation to all the challenges that I'm dealing with. You think about Tehillim, chapter 23, Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, where King David, I heard this from Rabbi Mordechai Zilber, King David presents himself being a sheep, and Hashem is the shepherd. And we think about what that means, right? A shepherd knows that the sheep is very dependent, and the sheep trusts him. And so the sheep says, Hashem Roi, God is my shepherd, Lo Echsar, I'm not missing anything. He takes care of me. Nafshi Yeshoveh, he settles me down. And even more so, Gam Ki Eilech Begeitz Al Mavis, my shepherd loves me so much, even if I'm walking in the valley with the shadows of death, Lo Ira Ra, I'm not afraid, Ki Ata Imadi, because you are with me. My teacher of Wolfson pointed out an amazing thing. At the beginning of the chapter, we refer to God in the third person. Mizmor LeDavid, a song of David, Hashem Ro'i, God is my shepherd, Lo Echsar, I don't miss anything. Bin Os Desha, on wonderful pastures, Yar Bitzeni, he'll put me to rest. Almei Menuchos, on pleasant waters, Yin Nahaleni, he will lead me. Not Tin Nahaleni, you will lead me, but he will lead me. But then when it's difficult, Gam Ki Eilech Begeitz Al Maves, even though I walk in the valley of death, Lo ira ra, I won't fear evil, not ki hu imadi, but ki ata imadi, because you are with me. In the more difficult times, he's even closer to me. And I know that since he's so close, there's no reason to fear. On the contrary, I know it's all out of love. As the Baal Shem Tov taught, imagine a person who's elderly and he doesn't have any children, and he finally merits to have a son, a ben yachid. Can you imagine the love he has for that child? Everything that child says is brilliant, and he's so hovering over that child to protect that child, to keep that child safe. Hashem Yisbarach has more love for each of us than that father. As the Pasuk so many times says in Tehillim and throughout the Navi, Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem. Hashem says, I love you. You might ask, why do you love us? And Hashem says, no matter what, I'm going to love you. Right? Where is the book of divorce? It can't be. I'm never going to separate from you. So the first principle is to know that Hashem loves us. And if we really feel that Hashem loves us, then everything that we're going through is really l'tov aseinu, it's for our good. So now Rabbi Nachman goes further. Letter Hey. Avonosav shel Adam Hey malatzmosav. A person's sins are on your bones. Kmo shekasav, as the verse says in Yecheskel, Batehi avonosam chakuk alatzmosam. And their sins were engraved on their bones. Kol aveira yesh latziruf osios. Every sin is really a combination of letters. Ukishaver ezer aveira, when I do a sin, as I nechkak tziruf ra latzmosav, the letters come together in a very negative way on my bones. Val yideze machnes pechina sadibur shel alav hazeh she'avar besoch hatzuma. So I take this concept of speech, the words of the prohibition, and I put it into the realm of impurity. Hainu shemachnes pechinas malchus, I take the power of kingship, shu pechinas dabar echad ledor, the idea of one spokesman, one leader for the generation, I'm putting it into the Gentiles. I'm giving them rulership. For example, if I violate the prohibition, don't have any other gods. As I'm taking the good combination of those letters, breaking it, making a bad combination. Now this bad combination is now on my bones, and it causes me punishment. As it says, your sins caused you to go this way. And the verse says, to the wicked person comes misfortune. So how do I fix it? So when I confess my issues to the Talmud Chacham, yotzei me'atzmosa va'osio sachakukim aleihem, these letters now leave my bones. And now the words of the vidui get made. For the words come out of the bones. Moshe Kassav, as the verse says, all of my bones will say. And it breaks the the bad combination, ubona mehem malchus tekdusha, and it builds a holy kingship. That's what the Gemara says in Sota. When the Jews were traveling in the desert, the bones of Yehuda, the son of Yaakov, were rolling around. Until Moshe said, no, stop. Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. God, listen to the voice of Yehuda. Moshe was asking God to remember how Yehuda had confessed his sins. So God remembered it. And then God allowed Yehuda to become the ruler. This is all in light of what we're saying. God's most of Ayim Gulgalim. The bones were rolling. Since Yechezkel says sins get engraved on bones, through the confession, Nistaknu, the bones get fixed. All the letters go back to their place. The Yehuda is Malchus, is the kingship. Remez, the idea is Shebechinas Malchus, the idea of kingship, Nitakin al Yidei Vidui Dvarim, was fixed through the confession. Zenas al Yidei Moshe, that happened through Moshe. Shezachar Moshe Avidui, Moshe mentioned the confession, he remembered it. Kichin Tzar, because that's the way it has to be. Sheyi Avidu Lifnei Tamud Chacham, the confession should be in front of a Tamud Chacham. Kol Tamud Chacham Ubechinas Moshe. Every Torah scholar is a little bit of Moshe. Moshe Amra, as the Gemara sometimes refers to the sages as Moshe. Shapir Ka Amarta, you said a beautiful idea. Ubezesh Zachar Moshe Avidui. Since Moshe remembers the confession, Nasakilu Isvada Achshav Lifnei Moshe. It's as if he now is confessing in front of Moshe. While Yedeza Nitakin Bechinas Malchus. Through this, the concept of kingship was fixed. The Nechrav Atziru Farash Nechakal Atzmosav. And the bad combination that was on the bones was now fixed. Yeah, please, a question.
Can I do a question, right? Confession before, you know, the rabbi feels an awful lot like Catholicism. And
right, that's why there were people who accused Rabbi Nachman of being Christological. They didn't like this.
Vidui is a very Jewish concept, but vidui that...
To a Talmud Chacham.
Right, to a Talmud Chacham feels very strange.
Right, yeah, this is one of Rabbi Nachman's very... unique innovations that were part of why he's so controversial. That's for sure.
You always hear of Atmos Yosef, but you never really hear of Atmos.
Right, so here's quoting the Gemara, it's the bones of Yehuda. So what does this all mean, right? Again, Rabbi Nachman has a lot of images. He says that every prohibition is a collection of letters. And when a person commits a sin, so then those letters come together describing the sin, the letters of the prohibition, and they're on a person's bones. And that's going to cause all sorts of disasters. But then when a person confesses in front of a Talmud Chacham, so by confessing in front of a Talmud Chacham, he's getting the combination of letters off of his bones, and when it comes off of his bones, it can now be rearranged in a positive and new arrangement. And in that way, a person is elevating the concept of God being the king. So, let me share...
Please. Don't we speak about that in Elul?
Right, where we say that a tshuva out of love can turn our misdeeds that were deliberate into merits, and that's probably connected to this idea, for sure.
I mean, if you're confessing and then turning into...
Right, that's right. So let's... I'd like to share a thought from Rabbi Silver, Rabbi Mottel Zilber, to try to explain what Rabbi Nachman is teaching. And let's pick up from what Eric mentioned. Eric mentioned that in the month of Elul, that's a time that we focus a lot on confession, on repenting for our sins. Maimonides, who's the great master of defining halacha, Maimonides has a set of laws, Hilchos Tshuva, the laws of repentance. And there's a very famous question on the Rambam's laws of repentance. The Rambam begins, and the Rambam says, when a person does a sin, any sin, kishayase tshuva v'yashuv mecheto, when he will repent and return from his sin, chayav l'hisvados, or mitzvah l'hisvados, lifnei hakel baruch hu. He has a mitzvah to confess in front of God. And so the Minchas Chinuch and the Avodah Samelech and Rav Soloveitchik and Al HaTshuva, many, many sources, they ask, what do you mean, when he repents, he has to confess? What about that he has to repent? The Rambam doesn't say that there is a mitzvah to repent. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah to confess. But the Rambam never says there's a, at least in the laws, that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. It's a strange thing. Why is there a mitzvah of confession? Why is confession the core of what tshuva is? So here the Hasidim give the following amazing insight. If we go back to confession in halacha, in the Torah, many times the person who confesses didn't even do the sin. So I'll give you an example. The big day of forgiveness is Yom Kippur. The service of Yom Kippur is done by the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol's most vivid act is to have the two goats in the front of the Beit HaMikdash. One goat is going to go to the wilderness. The other goat is going to become a korban that's going to go into the holiest of holies, the Kodesh HaKodashim. The goat that's going to go to the wilderness, the Kohen Gadol puts his hands on it, and he confesses all the sins of the Jewish people. And he sends that goat out into the wilderness. And the goat is dropped off. Thank you. The goat that is a korban, that gets slaughtered and ends up going into the holiest of holies, into the Kodesh HaKodashim. But what sins does the Kohen Gadol confess on the goat going to the wilderness? Not his sins. His own sins he confesses on a par, on a bull. The sins of the nation. So how does it help to confess the sins of others? What's going on here? It's a confession, but it's not even, he's not even talking about his own sins. He's talking about somebody else's sins. How is that? And that's the ultimate forgiveness. That's the ultimate. So the Hasidim say here an amazing thing. There is a law in Jewish law, in halacha, that a person, number one, has no credibility about himself. Adam karov etzel atzmo. I'm biased to talk about myself because I'm a relative to myself. That's one law. Another law in Jewish law. Ein adam meisim atzmo rasha. If I come into the court and I say, I'm a terrible person, I do this wrong, I do that wrong, the court doesn't believe me. Court does not believe a person who's claiming that he's very wicked. So then what's the whole point of confession? In confession, I'm saying, I sinned, I was criminal, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. But I have no credibility about myself. And number two, I can't make myself wicked. I'm not believed to make myself wicked. The answer is that in confession, the real meaning of confession is that I realize that when I'm talking about myself, it's like the Kohen Gadol talking about the Jewish people. I'm talking about somebody different. I'm realizing that the person who sinned is not me. That wasn't me. It was my body that sinned. But that's not me. The real me is my soul. And my soul didn't agree to the sin. I've so identified myself with my soul that I now look at my soul as being me, and my body is this strange, you know, monster that sometimes, you know, hijacks and kidnaps the soul. But that's not really me. So I can say the body sinned. The body did something wrong, and I'm believed about that. I would only be believed once I can separate the body from me, because I'm talking about something different from me, not who I am. Who I am is a soul that wants to do good. Let's now connect this here. We know that there is a famous law of the Rambam, of Maimonides. The Rambam says that if a person is supposed to do the right thing, say the court tells me, you need to bring a sacrifice. And I don't want to bring the sacrifice. So the court can actually put pressure on me until I say I want to do the sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice that's offered unwillingly, bikfiyah, forced, is not a kosher sacrifice. But a sacrifice that's offered willingly, meratzon, is a kosher sacrifice. The court can put pressure on me till I say, yes, I want to do it, I want to do it, and then it's a kosher sacrifice. Why is it a kosher sacrifice? It's forced. The answer is, says the Rambam, deep down, I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. I want to do the right thing. My soul wants to do the right thing. Who I am, what I really am, is the person who wants to do the good things. But sometimes this, you know, spirit of insanity, you know, other ideas get in my way. I lose myself. I go through a psychosis. I'm not in touch with who I really am. So who I'm not, the body doesn't want to do it. But when the pressure is brought to bear, the soul comes out and the soul says, I want to do it. I really do want to do it. That's the idea of confession. The idea of confession is to be able to, the only way to have credibility in a confession is for me to be able to somehow separate from the person who sinned. For me to separate from the person who sinned, it means that I realize that who I really am is a soul that wants to do right and wants to do good and is close to God and loves God. But, you know, the body sinned. That's not really me. That's not really me. That's the only way that confession works. That's why the symbol of repentance is confession. The Rambam talks about confession. He doesn't talk about repentance. Because the Rambam is telling you that the meaning of repentance is to be able to understand that all that bad that I did wasn't me doing it. It was my body doing it, but that's not me. That's not who I really am. I'm not that body. I'm somebody else. I have different desires. I have different loves. I have different dreams. Somebody hijacked me, pulled me along, made me drunk. But that's not what I am. That's not the real me. The real me is attached to God, is loyal to God, wants to serve God. The real me, the real who I am, is an amazing, amazing soul. And so that's part of the imagery Rabbi Nachman uses here, right? Rabbi Nachman says that evil, sin, bad, that's only when you combine letters. That's what we spoke about last week, right? If you take the letters Nun, Gimel, Ayin, together, they spell the word nega, a plague. But if you break apart the combination of the letters and you go back to just the letter Nun itself is an amazing thing. The letter Gimel on its own is an amazing positive. The letter Ayin is an amazing positive. God created the world with the letters. The letters themselves are good. It's when you combine letters, they can be combined in a way that's bad. But that means you could also recombine them to be a way that's good. How do you do that? You have to get past the letters, get past the combination, get past the words, get back to the letters. Then you can rearrange the letters. So Rabbi Nachman is saying that if I commit a misdeed, so the letters, the power of what I did becomes the letters that now are engraved on my bones. But they are not in my bones, they're on my bones. My bones, though, are beyond the sin. My soul is beyond all that I did that was bad. And the idea of confession is to really internalize that the real me, that it's something different from what I did. I did bad. My body did bad. That's not the real me. The real me is a good person. The real me wanted always to do good and is attached to good and is drawn to good and is holy. It's an amazing thing. The confession is in the letters of the Aleph Beis. Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, Hevinu. The confession that we recite is to go through the letters of the Aleph Beis. Because the whole idea of the confession is to say, I'm going to get back to the letters. I'm going to get back to the real roots of who I am. And so, yeah, there's a combination now that's negative. But the real root deep down is positive. Now, this might be what Rabbi Nachman means when he speaks about the divine kingship being damaged and then being elevated. Every sin, at a certain point, is that I'm ignoring what God told me to do. God said not to do it. I'm ignoring, I'm doing it, I'm doing the sin. That's what a sin is. I'm ignoring God as king. So whenever I sin, I'm damaging the idea that God is in charge of the world, because now I'm doing what I want, not what God tells me to do. But when I realize that I didn't want to do the sin, my body wanted the sin, but my soul never wanted to do the sin. My soul always wanted to serve God. My soul didn't agree to the sin. It was forced to do the sin. And my soul is the real me. Now I'm connecting back to my soul. I'm discovering who I really am. When I discover who I really am, so now I can push away the sin. That's the idea of going to a Talmud Chacham. The idea of going to a Talmud Chacham is that the Talmud Chacham is revealing to the person who's talking to him that the person who's talking doesn't really know himself. Talmud Chacham returns to the person a lost object. And what does he return to us? He gives us back ourselves. We have lost ourselves. And when we lose ourselves, we have to go and find to get a Hashava Saveda, return of a lost object. The Torah scholar comes and he tells us, you know what? Who you think you are, that's not who you are. You think you're this person who does this wrong and that wrong, these sins, and therefore all these misfortunes. That's not who you are. That's just the actions of the body. That's just the externals. That's not who you really are. Who you really are is a piece of godliness. Who you really are is a soul that wants to serve God. Who you really are is a being that's holy and amazing and so special and so close to God. That's who you really are. And when a person discovers, oh, that's who I really am, I really have a desire deep down to serve God, then he can push away. He can push away that which is on the bones. He can push away this iteration, this formulation of these letters. These letters have combined in a way that they spell out sin. He pushes them away and now rearranges them. And they now spell something very positive. They spell something very good. There's a very deep point that Rabbi Nachman is saying here. God made the world. The real belief in God is that everything has in it godliness. If a person believes that good times, that's from God, but misfortunes, you know, that's not from God, that's from something else, then he believes in two creators. He believes in two deities. He doesn't really believe in one God. To really believe in one God means that everything is coming from the same source. It's all coming from God. Sometimes it's easier to see it. Sometimes it's harder to see it. But it's all coming from God. That's the only way to really believe in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. To believe I am God, your Lord, means that everything comes from God. And God we know is good. That means that everything is good. And that means that the person is good. There's an amazing comfort here. No one's going to be able to defeat God. You know, Rabbi Arya Kaplan has this parable. He says, one of the ways to view freedom of choice and God's plan is like a novice playing chess. So I'm playing chess against the grandmaster. I know who's going to win. The grandmaster's going to win. But which moves he'll take, maybe that I don't know right away. Maybe if I move one way, he'll move a different way. But bottom line is, he's going to win. That's the idea. We have freedom of choice. We can go this way, we can go that way. But ultimately, what God wants is going to happen. Maybe we're going to cause a certain adjustment in terms of how he makes it happen. But what he wants will absolutely happen. Because he's the grand master and I'm a novice playing against him. I'm moving this way and that way. What he wants is going to happen. So we know what he tells us about himself. Tov Hashem lakol, God is good to all. Ahavti Yeshem Amar Hashem, I love you. Hashem tells us that he loves us and that he wants to do good for us and that he's good. It has to be that way. He created us. with a purpose to make the world a more heavenly place, to add good deeds, to elevate our bodies and to become worthy of the world to come. That's why you put us into this world. That purpose has to succeed. But someone's going to beat God at what God wants? God has to succeed. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman says, whatever happens, a person should feel it's all for the best, because it's from God, and God is good, and God's goodness is going to win. So even when I sin, you know what? That's just the external that sinned. The goodness, the doing what God wants, that has to win. That has to come about. So inside, it's the goodness. And the externals, on the outside, I did this sin, I did that sin. But deep down, I always wanted to do the right thing. And that's the goal of a Talmud Chacham. The goal of the Torah scholar is to reveal to the person a deeper reality. You think you sinned? No, your body sinned. But that's not you. I know who you are. You're a good person. You're a loving person. You want to serve God. You always wanted to serve God. You know, it didn't happen because the body didn't let it happen. But now you can make it happen. Now you can get out of those shackles and release your real soul. So Rabbi Nachman is telling us, you know, sometimes we find it hard to admit that I did this wrong, I did that wrong. It's very embarrassing to admit that we did something wrong. Rabbi Nachman here is giving an amazingly deep way of how to give us the strength to get up and admit. Why do we find it embarrassing to admit? Because I don't want to admit that I'm weak or that I did something wrong. I'm embarrassed what people are going to think of me. But you know what? They're not thinking of me. They're thinking of my body. That's not the real me. When I admit to something wrong, the whole nature of it is that I'm separating me, my neshama, my soul, who I really am, from what was done. What was done by my body, but that's not the real me. The real me is something amazing. It's somebody good. It's somebody wonderful. The real me is a piece of godliness. The real me is a soul that wants to get close to the Almighty. The real me is amazing. And when a person believes that the real me is amazing, because God is amazing, and God made me, and He gave me so many amazing gifts, and life is really amazing. Sure, the same way I have to realize that deep down, internally, I'm really a holy being, but it's my body that maybe does things wrong, but that's not really who I am. When things happen that I don't like what they are, and I think that they're bad, it's only on the externals that it's bad. The external is bad. It looks bad. But the deep down, it's really all for the best. There's only one. There's only God. God is running everything. Because God has to win. The kingship of God has to win. A person thinks, you know, I violated what He wants. He didn't get what He wanted. He's going to get what He wants. He's God. We have a phrase in Jewish philosophy, Ein melech below am. There's no king without a people. So we think, okay, that means that God needs us. He needs us. He needs us to serve Him, to listen to Him. When we're following His orders, that shows that He's the king. But if we wouldn't be following His orders, then it looks like He's not the king, heaven forbid. He's not the king if He doesn't have a people. But that's wrong. That's just what it seems like. Can we even imagine for a second that God's not going to be the king? God's in charge. He's all powerful. He made the world. Of course He's going to be the king. So I think I went against His way. But in the end, I'm going to find myself doing exactly what He wants me to do. My soul pulls me to it, and His objectives are always going to win. What He wants from us, the goodness that He hopes from us and that He expects of us, that is absolutely going to happen. And therefore, we should have the strength to confess, to admit, to say, okay, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. Because when I'm saying I did this wrong and I did that wrong, I'm letting go of all those things. Those things are now no longer me. Now they're external. They're not who I am. They're not on my bones anymore. Now who I am is an amazing, amazing soul with great objectives and great dreams and great aspirations and great desires. That's who I am. I'm a godly being. That creates a tremendous amount of blessing. All those letters that were arranged in a form and in a combination that was negative, now suddenly are broken apart and are rearranged in a way that's very, very positive, in a way that's very, very good. You know who else has this idea? Rav Yitzchak Kuttner has this idea in his commentary, Pachad Yitzchak, to Yom Kippur. He points out that the Kabbalists teach that before Adam sinned, so the evil urge was represented by the serpent that was around the tree of knowledge. And the serpent was a separate entity. And it was talking to man. And it was trying to get man to sin. And man resisted, but unfortunately he gave in. He ate from the tree of knowledge. And when man ate from the tree of knowledge, the serpent entered into man. And it became part and parcel of the human being that we have an urge inside of us that we're struggling with and we're trying to overcome. But what's the nature of speech? The nature of speech is where I take words and I separate them from me. I define them. I say, that's not me. I'm saying this. It's not my essence. The whole idea of speech and the idea of vidui, why it's so important to confess our sins, to admit our sins, is that when I'm admitting my sin, I'm taking the evil urge, I'm defining him, I'm putting him in words, and then I'm pushing those words outside of me. I'm reversing the sin of Adam. The nature of the confession is to realize that all the bad that was done, that wasn't the real me. The real me really never wanted to do it, never agreed to it. The real me, who I really am, is a piece of God who wants to serve God and be close to God, and that God's goal is absolutely getting fulfilled in this world. His goal is being fulfilled. The good is unfolding. And that's what Rabbi Nachman says. We have to remember that everything that God does is absolutely for our benefit. It's all for the good. Now, an example of these dynamics was Yehuda and Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehuda, as we learned last week, confessed that Tamar was the one who was right and he was wrong. He said, Tzadka, she's right, mimeni. I'm the one who did the sin who made her pregnant. And when he did that, he saved her life. He saved King David. And then later, when Moshe Rabbeinu reminded God of that, that caused God to forgive Yehuda. Now, when we think about Moshe Rabbeinu is really this idea of being extremely humble. Moshe is the most humble of all people. That tremendous humility of Moshe. He's just subservient to God. He does whatever God wants. That humility, that subservience, that's the source of being able to go back to break apart the combination of letters that are negative and to enable them to be rearranged in a way that's really good. So may we all merit to always be able to see the good. And again, a tremendous mazel tov to Seth, and thank you. We should merit to have the Vatischak Liyom Acharon, to laugh on the last day, to be elevated above, to say, okay, whatever I did, but I'm elevated, I'm higher than that. That's what Yom Kippur does for us. That's what the Beis HaMikdash did for us. That's why right before Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah to get along with other Jews and to forgive other Jews, to say, you know what, the Jew, he's good. The Jew is good because he's a Jew. So I want to be together with other Jews, I want to be friendly with other Jews because I know that the Jew is good. I'm elevated above the sin. The sin is not the real me. And when we elevate above the sin, then we merit to be forgiven and for the letters to be rearranged in a way that's good. Amen. Thank you.